Welcome in to the weekend watch list. For those who are unfamiliar, it is our new Friday podcast under the Snowtap Network. It is a podcast to basically give you what you need to watch for over the weekend. It is a perfect tool that will be utilized throughout the football season into basketball season. I think it is a great way to sort of set the table, right? And talk about all the games. Obviously, local first. We're never going to forget about our local sports. If I get all the blogs done today that I want to, it will be the only place where you're probably going to get Marquette news. You're going to get Badger football. You're going to get Packer football. You're going to get the Brewers. And you're going to get Badger basketball as well, and part of the Marquette. So, and what blog does that? Everyone's so like segmented and so like tight. And we're giving you all of that. That is what Snowtap WI does for you, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes, the weekend watch list sets the table, gets you guys ready. I think this is going to be a very good weekend. I think it is an exciting weekend of Wisconsin sports, really, now until the baseball season ends. I mean, you're fully into it, right? Like, the Brewers are 1.5 out. Like, I got offered tickets to go to the game on Saturday, and I actually passed them up just for a variety of reasons, and now I'm like regretting it. I'm like, Jesus, I probably made a little bit of a mistake there, but that's okay. But we're not going to start with the Brewers. I know I wanted to put the Brewers as number one, but really it's the Vikings and the Packers, and here's why it's the Vikings and the Packers. It's the Vikings and the Packers because this is a rivalry game. It is a very important game for the division. Aaron Rodgers obviously coming back potentially for this one. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of talk that Aaron Rodgers might not play in this game, which I would be very shocked. I would be very shocked if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play. I think everyone's ready for Aaron Rodgers to play. We definitely have to eat crow, I think, in the state of Wisconsin. I think a lot of people are assuming Rodgers is going to play in this game. I'm one to think that he will. I think that Rodgers can do some of the similar things that he did against the Chicago Bears and just run that hurry up offense and really get it done from there. I do expect Rodgers to play. I think this is going to be a very tight game. I think the Packers are going to win 17-14. That is with Aaron Rodgers playing. Now, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, I don't think the Packers win. I think that shouldn't be out of the question. Like, I think we all know that that's the case, right? Because that is exactly what's going to happen. The Vikings offense is potent, right? But at the same time, I do think Kirk Cousins is going to have some troubles. I think Mike Pettine, we're going to actually see some really good things from Mike Pettine. Kirk Cousins, I've been on that hill that he's overrated after Nolan Murphy, Mount Pius Murph, as we called him on the podcast yesterday. He convinced me, told me that, like, look, dude, do not be scared of Kirk Cousins. After I wrote blogs about being scared of Kirk Cousins, and I went all in on the other side. I flipped the spectrum. I basically, like, was, like, you know, all sorts of conservative about him, real Ted Cruz worried, and now I'm like Bernie Sanders in this bitch. Like, the fact of the matter is, like, I'm ready for Kirk Cousins to suck. And if the narrative of Kirk Cousins choking on his dinner, it would be starting on this in Lambeau on Sunday. Crowd needs to be loud. It needs to be a loud, rowdy crowd at Lambeau Field. That is an absolute must. Is there needs to be a lot of noise. I know that there'll be some Viking fans. I'm not going to shit on the gold package Packer fans because I do think that those people are still going to, they're going to show up. I believe in it. I saw them against Cincinnati. They were loud. They were really rowdy. And they just got to keep it up. Like, compete with last week. Really show the support. I'm very interested that DeShone Kizer gave apparently a very inspiring halftime speech. Like, extremely inspiring halftime speech, according to Randall Cobb. Obviously, we don't know what was said in there. That was reported by Jason Wilde yesterday. So maybe Kizer has the respect of the locker room, even as a young guy. And maybe they will play for him if he's going out there on Sunday. Now, if the Packers do win with DeShone Kizer, it would be a miracle. It'd be something to hold over Vikings fans for this year and years beyond, because that would just be absolutely phenomenal. Really important for the Packers to obviously get that quick pass game going and making sure that the pass rush on the other side of the ball gets there. This Vikings offensive line, you can take advantage of. And you're going to have to get big games from guys like Clay Matthews, Reggie Gilbert, Nick Perry. I think Reggie Gilbert should have more snaps than Clay Matthews and bump Clay into the inside a little bit more. I think that should be happening. I'm also interested to see how many snaps Mike Daniels gets, see what that sort of is like, and how are these young corners going to do against this vaunted Minnesota wide receiver class. So we'll see. The Packers winning 17-14. I feel pretty damn good about it. I feel like it's going to be a close game. I feel like we're going to have to grind it out. But the Packers are going to come out victorious, and they're going to be 2-0 in the division, and it's going to feel real good. All right, the 1A of the weekend watch list, you could say it's 2, you could say it's 1. You have the Brewers and the Pirates. The Brewers have had issues with the Pirates. They struggled with them in the past. PNC has been more of the House of Horrors, which they visit next weekend. But this Brewers team is obviously rolling. They're feeling good. They've won 11 of their last 14. They face a Pittsburgh team that's sort of the Milwaukee Bucks of the Herb Cole era. They made a trade just to make a trade, just to say that they were going to go for it. That was really the only reason that they did the whole deal for Chris Archer in the first place. And you see Archer on Friday. I hope to have something up about Snow Tap today about how Chris Archer was the best deal the Brewers never made. And that they didn't sacrifice Corbin Burns and Keston Hirata. And they went forward with the team they had, and it worked out for them. And Chris Archer has kind of proven to be fool's gold. I think there's going to be a lot of negative feedback on Chris Archer this winter in Pittsburgh. I know that the hype will be nice because you have Archer, you have Jameson Taillon, you have that. The Brewers do clear Taillon. They do not face him. They do face Taylor Williams, who's been really good since the All-Star break. So they do get, it's Archer, it's Nova, and it's Williams. You have Chacin and Miley flipping in the rotation. That is going forward. That will be how it rolls. So you get Chacin on Sunday, and that is to set up the postseason rotation. So that is very exciting. It's very exciting to hear your manager say that, right? That they're doing it to set up the rotation. They're 1.5 games back from the Cubs. Miller Park should be rocking this weekend. Interested to see the crowd sizes. I know it'll be good on Saturday. I know it'll be good on Sunday. It will be interesting on Sunday because obviously the Packer game, and I think there will be some talk of what do you care more about. And I got to be honest, like, I'm at a Packer, it's a housewarming party, but it's a Packer party. And if I was at home and I was just sitting at home, and this is no bullshit, I think that I definitely have the Brewers game on a stream, like, for sure. Like, I'm either streaming it on my tablet or I'm streaming it on my phone or my computer, and I'm having the Packer game running because that's where we're at with the season right now. And the Brewers are equally, if not more important than the Packers at this very moment. Moving on to the Badgers heading to play, staying home, but they're playing BYU. BYU has been a little frisky this year. I think BYU poses a bigger threat than they did last year. Tanner Mangum's back for what it seems to be his fifth year. I think he's only on his third year, actually. But BYU still having some trouble with their offense. They haven't really got their offense going, but they've sort of figured it out on defense. They struggled mightily last year on the defensive side of the ball. They've seemed to figure that out. They played a really grinded out game with Cal last week, 21-18. They lost that game, and they beat Arizona. So they're a 21.5-point favorite. I actually think that spread might be a touch high. I think it ends up Badgers winning by about 17. Jonathan Taylor will try to continue his sort of Heisman campaign. Bryce Love out with an injury. They're facing an FCS team in UC Davis. But Taylor can still continue to win September. Now, granted, September Heisman's a thing. Like, people talk about guys winning a September Heisman. But if he puts up big numbers against BYU and then puts up big numbers against Iowa, two defenses that have looked pretty good this year. Iowa's looked really good defensively. And that'll be a huge game next week. We'll talk a lot about that next week as well. But if he puts up some big numbers in those games, I think you're going to start seeing some real Jonathan Taylor Heisman hype. Like, I think that is going to be a real thing that starts going from a national perspective, because Taylor is put on a great show against New Mexico. New Mexico has no defense. BYU has a defense. Iowa has a defense. Taylor can really make his imprint. Danny Davis will be back on the roster. Danny Davis has been practicing this week. He's coming off the suspension. Interested to see how much run he gets. AJ Taylor has sort of been the go-to guy. Kendrick Pryor really hasn't got going yet this year. So I don't know. Maybe Davis does assume the starting role. We'll see if he's in the lineup. That is a 2:30 start on ABC on Saturday. As for the other sporting events that are non-local, you have to put number four to be the Patriots and Jaguars. Patriots and Jaguars, you really have everything you want in an early season matchup, right? Rematch from an awesome playoff game. It's in Jacksonville, so it's the Jacksonville home opener. The hype around Jacksonville in their city is crazy. You have the Jalen Ramsey comments that he'd knock out his grandma. It doesn't matter. Gronk and him going back and forth. It's going to be an amazing game. It's just the atmosphere. I hope it lives up to the hype. You worry just with Jacksonville, with Blake Bortles, with Tom Brady, just that maybe New England comes in there and shuts them up. But I do think Jacksonville wants to make a statement. I think Jacksonville has a ability. They're a home dog. They're kind of not getting the respect that maybe they deserve, that people still don't believe that this Jacksonville team is good. I even thought people didn't think of that after the Giants win. I thought that was a very impressive win for them. I mean, it's not easy to go on the road with a ton of hype around you and pretty much take care of business and do your job. Like, Jacksonville played their game against the New York Giants, and I think they can do that against the New England Patriots. I don't know if I will put this in any sort of betting realm because I just think there's too much there, right? There's too much that can happen. The variance is far too high. Now, if the line were to say, if people were to be pounding Jacksonville, you know, the Sharps pounded Jacksonville and suddenly the line flipped, maybe then I take a read on Jacksonville just because that's where it's going, right? And then you just ride the Sharps and you ride that money. But who knows? And I really do think it'll be a fun game. The other thing too about that, just a final thought, I'll be interested to see if the Jaguars open up the playbook a little bit more for Blake Bortles in the second half. Now, remember, part of the reason why the Jaguars lost that game in January was because the offense turned to plain vanilla. It went completely cream cheese. You know, it was whiter than a frat boy at a Southern college. Like, it just did not work out well. And they have to expand it. They have to get creative with this. And we'll see if they will. Also, if Leonard Fournette's out for the game, that's a big loss. Patriots, I have no idea who's going to run the football for him. It might just be James White, and that's it. Because they, right now, are very thin all of a sudden at running back. So then, going to baseball for our number five, it will be the Dodgers and the Cardinals. I'm sure there's some national TV games out there, but really just to keep an eye on it, right? As a Brewer fan, if you are in the wild card, do you want to play the Dodgers or the Cardinals? That's a great question. I guess you probably want to play the Cardinals because you have to deal with Clayton Kershaw. But the Brewers beat Clayton Kershaw this year. They beat Clayton Kershaw at Miller Park. Clayton Kershaw obviously he doesn't have the narrative of Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs. He's kind of retired. It's not the same. I loved calling him baseball Peyton Manning when I could. I think I'd bring that back just to rattle the cage a little bit. But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the Cardinals lost today 9-7 to the Dodgers, a four-game series. So now they are three back of the Brewers for the first spot, and they are only one back of the Dodgers. The Dodgers can make significant noise this weekend. If they win Friday, they are tied, and that would put them farther back from the Brewers. So this could really do a lot for the wild card race. And really, if the Brewers take advantage this weekend in Pittsburgh, it can build some major separation between the two teams. Definitely a fan of that. Moving on to basically number six here, LSU and Auburn. Great SEC rivalry. Some say LSU is a little too high just based on the two games that they have already played. I could believe in that. LSU is a 10-point dog on the road facing Auburn. Auburn has looked very good so far. Jared Stidham, a hell of a quarterback. He's having a really strong start to the season. Auburn's defense is nails. Real good test for Joe Burrow. I don't know where I stand on this. This game has kind of been a weird one in the SEC. There's no real lean to it. I think I go with Auburn in the points. I just don't think LSU has enough. I understand that Ed Orgeron loves being the underdog, and he rode that out in Miami, but a neutral site game with a lot of hype against a non-experienced team is far different than going into Jordan-Hare and trying to win this game outright. I think Auburn takes care of business. I think they win by 14 points. I don't really buy fully into the LSU hype. I'm more skeptical. Auburn took care of it. Who has a better neutral location win? I think that's what you ask yourself. Is it Auburn who beat Washington, or is it LSU who beat Miami? I think it's 100% Auburn. And I think you don't want to base it just on that, but Auburn is a tough defense. I don't think LSU has seen what Auburn's bringing to the table in this game. Going to the NFL for number 7, we have the Seattle Seahawks and the Chicago Bears. Why is this number 7? Monday Night Football, could have picked Steelers, Chiefs. You could have picked a couple other interesting Lions, 49ers, maybe. It's as Bill Simmons would say, it's a loser leaves town match. These two teams are 0-1. These two teams, one of them will be 0-2. If you know the stat, 90% of teams who start 0-2, or 88%, I think it is, do not make the playoffs. If that is the case, that is, you know, one less team for the Packers to worry about. And I really favor Chicago in this game. I actually really like the Bears in this game. And it's based off of, I just don't know how Seattle stops that pass rush. I watched what Chicago did to the Packers. And granted, it was just one half. But now Khalil Mack gets a full week of practice. He gets another week of conditioning. He gets into better shape. He was attacking the right side, where Seattle has trouble. I think Chicago might be one of the best bets of the weekend in terms of riding it out and waiting on Monday, because that just, I don't know. I think Russell Wilson could have a hell of a time. I was very impressed with what I saw with the Seahawks in the short passing game. Emmanuel Sanders tore them up in the slot. I think Taylor Gabriel and others could do the same thing for the Bears. I think I like Chicago in that matchup, and I think I really like Chicago. Another favorite bet of mine, just for whatever it's worth. I also like the Broncos. I don't know if I have an underdog pick yet. I will have an underdog pick by the Wake and Take, but right now those are my two favorite in terms of, and that'll be public, I understand that, but you can't bet against the Broncos in early September in Denver. It's just something you just do not do. All right, making it to the number 8 spot, we have Boise State and Oklahoma State. Boise State and Oklahoma State, that is, to me, a fascinating football game. To be honest, Boise's obviously trying to make their case for the college football playoff. This is a huge game for Boise State from that perspective. If Boise State wins and takes advantage of this, they are in the driver's seat for the Group of Five and potentially a college football playoff nominee, and there'll be a lot of debate about Boise State going forward. Obviously, if Oklahoma State beats them, it's probably going to go away. Brett Rippon, another guy, speaking of Tanner Mangum, who's, I feel like, been at Boise State for like 7 years. He's a senior. He's thrown for 667 yards so far this year. 7 touchdowns, no picks. He's been very good. They also have to deal with Taylor Cornelius, who's been a walk-on, who's been very good for Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State kind of having a little bit of a rebirth. Remember, Oklahoma State lost Mason Rudolph. They lost James Washington. But this team knows how to play. I mean, Tylan Wallace had a big game against South Alabama, as did Tyron Johnson. Oklahoma State's a machine, right? Oklahoma State offense does not quit. Every year, man, they just keep churning out guys. Like, it doesn't matter who's playing for Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy just knows how to coach offense, and it's really a beautiful sight to see. I think this, to me, is probably my favorite matchup. I'm curious why game day didn't go here. I get the whole Ohio State thing, but do they really want to handle the Ohio State situation with Kurt Herbstreit and everything that goes in there, it'll be fascinating to watch. And that'll go into our number nine, which is Ohio State and TCU. The game not being played at TCU Stadium, which is an insult. Like, that just, it's such bullshit. I think Ohio State's way too high as a 13. I know that they've steamrolled everybody. I know Dwayne Haskins has looked really good so far. But Gary Patterson knows how to coach football teams. Gary Patterson knows his team's going to be an underdog. He knows that Ohio State is going to have a loaded fan base. They just knows that. And they have some guys. I mean, they obviously were looking a little bit ahead to this game with their struggles against SMU before Turpin broke loose on a punt return. And, you know, and Sean Robinson, I think TCU, can TCU win this game? Yes. Do I think they will? No. Do I think it'll be like a 3-point game, like a 23-20? Absolutely. I just think Gary Patterson, like, he relishes moments of underdogs. Like, that's these two teams, Boise and TCU, funny enough, but this is kind of what they're made for. I wouldn't be very weary about betting against TCU, more so than Boise, but betting against TCU. This game should be played on campus. The fact that Game Day is doing the show on campus, yet the game isn't, is just, it's pathetic. It sucks, to be honest. To wrap us up, we're going to finish up with Cubs and Reds. So obviously, game not really on TV. Cubs and Reds get going later this afternoon, but obviously you got to keep an eye on it. So 1.5 games back are the Brewers. If the Reds were to pull it out on Friday, the Brewers would then have a chance to go to a half game back and obviously take the lead if the Reds were to win again. It'll kind of be nice for the Brewers on Friday and Saturday because they'll know where they sit before the game starts. I don't know if the team likes that, they hate that, but I would personally like it as a player. I know exactly what's ahead of me. And, you know, interesting enough, Pedro Strop will be down for a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury because Joe Maddon decided to have him bat in the 10th inning. Joe Maddon, smarter than everybody in the room, guys. Joe Maddon, you know, how you just got to bat your closer in the 10th inning. So now Strop is down for 2 weeks probably, or 3 weeks. Really big loss with a Cubs bullpen that's kind of been on ice and has been shaky at best, to say the least. Carl Edwards has been absolutely awful. So we'll see what happens in that Cubs-Reds series. The Brewers get the Reds upcoming, starting on Monday. So if the Reds can help us out this weekend and then kind of lay down next weekend, much appreciated. All right, that does it for the weekend watch list. Feedback, always welcome, guys. If you have any comments, concerns, happy to take them. We're happy to talk to you about those. We'll be back next Friday to go over another weekend watch list. A fun week upcoming. We'll get into more of the Big Ten season, more conference play with college football. Be hard to choose games. And obviously, we'll have our baseball eyes on. Tour championships rolling next week. Get excited. All right, guys. Murph will be on tomorrow with part of Murph's Fantasy. Look forward to that. He takes all your fantasy needs for a 10-minute show. Should be a great one. Very good for Saturday. And then Wake and Take will be back on Sunday morning. Look forward to talking to y'all then. Take care. Out.